The Bible says in the book of Malachi, God says to the Israelis, guard yourself. Guard yourself. Remain loyal to the wife of your youth. And then he ends again. So guard yourself. Always remain loyal to your wife. And I'm going to talk about this tonight. But I'm going to talk about it from a little different angle than what we normally think. Obviously, in the context here, he's saying guard yourself and don't go chasing after other women and divorce your wife for somebody younger. To be very frank, that's part of what he's talking about. I've had a lot of experience working with marriages. I've done marriage conferences around the country. I've counseled hundreds of couples. I've married lots and lots of people. And I've devoted my life to helping young men and women start out their lives understanding God's plan for the life and how to live it out. And of course, I had to learn it myself. This isn't just talk for me. This isn't just a degree on my wall. But it's almost 37 years of living out, striving to practice what the Word of God teaches us. And I'd like to pass on something very important to you. Guarding yourself, guarding your soul, your marriage starts with you watching out for you. Listen to what Proverbs 4:23 says. Above all that you guard, guard your heart, for it affects everything in your life. The single most important thing in your life is your heart, the condition of your heart. I'm not talking now about your physical heart. I'm talking about the emotional you. The inside of you where attitudes are shaped. The inside of you where attachments are strengthened. You know that part of you that fell in love with that girl or fell in love with that guy because you let your heart go. And I have seen more devastation come to young men and women's lives, middle-aged men and women's lives, older men and women's lives, because they violated this text. They did not, above all else, guard their heart. The Bible says in Mark chapter 3, verse 25, a house divided against itself cannot stand. And I have watched, I have seen in my own life how easy it is, and I'm going to share with you some illustrations tonight. Our hearts, in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, says the heart is desperately wicked. It's deceitful above all else. Who can truly know it? But I, the Lord, search the heart. I search the depths of the heart. To judge a man's motives. Our heart will lead us astray just like that. And I don't care how long you think you've been married. Man, I'll tell you, it is so easy in your heart to nurture a grudge. It's so easy to live in the same house, but be hundreds of miles apart emotionally from one another. Because we've not tended our heart. We've not watched over it. We've not made sure that I am not going to allow that kind of attitude to develop towards my spouse. And I see it all the time. I see people, their heart grows hard. They become callous and inconsiderate and a little gruff. It's so easy. I wrote these things to myself many years ago. It's so easy to nurture and bear grudges towards your spouse. It's so easy to complain in your heart about your spouse, to foster and nurture negative thoughts and emotions that divide and destroy your marriage. They make you unfaithful in your heart and your attitude. See, faithfulness starts in the heart. Faithfulness starts inside who we are, my commitment, my bond to you. My wife, she doesn't go with me 24 hours a day everywhere. She doesn't know what's going on in my heart. She is trusting, frankly, trusting that I'm going to sow good things in my heart. One of the most profound verses in the entire Bible is found in the book of Galatians. You don't ever want to forget this. If I had a tattoo on the inside of my heart, on the inside of my mind, it's this one. Mark, do not be deceived. God is not mocked. You cannot ignore God and ignore God's word, Mark, and get away with it. Whatever you sow, you will reap. That's a law that you cannot defy. If you plant apple seeds out in your lawn and, you know, you tend them right, They may die because, you know, you ignored them. But if they grow, you're not going to get an orange tree, you're not going to get a pear tree, and you're not going to get tomato vines. You're going to get apples. Even in nature, God's law is never broken. You cannot plant carrot seeds and expect cucumbers. Nobody's that foolish. But I'll tell you right now, if you think you're going to have a close, lasting, beautiful marriage, and every day in your heart, you're sowing, I'm so sick of that. She just, all the time. And she just grumble. She never pays attention to me. And you're just nitpicking her apart or him apart in your heart. It will show, and the kids will see it. And I tell you something that happens, that, and every person's probably gone through this at some point. Children almost worship you unless you're very abusive and mean. Until they're about 11 or 12, 13, and then they get these magic antennas that stick out of their head that detect hypocrites. And then it's all downhill after that. You lose them. Children, teenagers cannot stand hypocrisy. They cannot stand it, nor can God. And actually, if we're all honest, none of us can either. We've got to guard our heart. We've got to watch over what we sow there. What we sow. It is so easy to nurture criticism towards your spouse. I remember as a young man, I'll just be real honest with you. Kathy and I got married, I was 23. And I was a Christian. I was really trying to follow Christ, but there were deep roots of pride in my life that I didn't realize. See, this is another thing about God. He's honest with us. He'll bring us things in our life. And if we'll let him work with us, he can change us. If we don't, you'll be destroyed. Because pride will destroy a man. Pride comes before the fall for everyone. It's just a matter of time. Well, wow. Things weren't quite going like I thought they were going to go. I had expectations in my head, but Kathy didn't know what those expectations were, and she could have never lived up to those expectations anyway. And before I knew it, it didn't take long. I'm telling you, I was just sowing some really bad attitudes in my heart. Just like, man, I'm so sick of this, and I'm sick of that. You know, I just expected when I come home from work, she'd greet me at the door, give me a big kiss, and sit down next to me on the couch, put her legs underneath the rear end, and just rub the back of my neck, kind of like my mom used to do. She didn't get that close, but she'd scratch my back. She was a real touchy-feely, you know, affectionate kind of woman. Well, my wife's not wired that way. God made her different. She's steady, strong, devoted, loyal, quiet. She's not the cheerleader. She's not the girl that's going to run across the airport and straddle you and jump around you and kiss your face all over the place. But yeah, I just thought that's what girls were like. So, you know, I just began to internalize that and think to myself, well, this is crap, man. I'm affectionate. I'm passionate. Where's your passion? If you really love me, where's your passion? And I was always measuring by my yardstick. Fast forward a couple years, and it was really difficult. Things were really difficult, and I was getting angry often, and it was bad. And I was still reading my Bible. This was my saving grace. I was still reading, asking God, God, change me. God, work in my life. I was kind of falling all over myself. I'm ashamed of it, to be real honest with you. But I'm sharing so that you understand. These are things God had to do in my life. One day I was out at a park where I would go, and I was a salesman, and I had a sales route, and so I worked in straight commission, so my time was kind of my own, and I always devoted a portion of my day, actually 1 hour of my day, to go out there to that park and pray over business, pray over my wife, pray over my children, and pray over my sick heart. And I happened to open my Bible, and I was reading the book of Philippians at the time, and I came to this text. Finally, brothers, whatever's good, whatever's lovely, whatever's pure, whatever's praiseworthy, whatever's excellent, whatever's admirable, put your mind on these things, and the God of peace will be with you. And I mean, so God will do this. God just, I mean, at that moment, just took a 2x4 to my face. And I'm not exaggerating. I just tears. I'm just sitting in the car. I recognized who I really was. I said, God, I have been violating every one of these every day towards Kathy. I don't think about what's good, what's lovely, what's pure, what's admirable, what's praiseworthy. I think about what I don't like. I think about what's bugging me. I think about things I wish you'd change in. Holy smoke. You know, Lord, I thought I had a marriage from heaven. It feels like a marriage from hell. I was Mr. Grumbler, whiner, complainer. That's kind of what was going on the inside. But on the outside, you know, I'd show up at church with a nice smile on my face. Everybody thought, wow, Mark's, he's just such a neat Christian. But Kathy lived with me. And I could not hide the things that were going on in my heart. And I sat in the car and I'm just sobbing. I'm just like, God, right now, I tell you, I recognize my own wickedness, the wickedness of my heart. I have been violating this. I have not been from the heart practicing this. So today I'm going to start. So I took out a sheet of paper and I'm very embarrassed to tell you this. And I sat there and I thought, okay, I'm not going to go anywhere until I write down five things about this woman I really love. And I sat there and I'd have 30 things down right now in 2 minutes if you wanted to know what was wrong. And then at that moment, I realized how far I had fallen. I wrote down those five things, and from that day forward, and this is the honest to God truth, every day I spend now an hour every day in prayer. I get up every day about 3 a.m., and by 4:15, I'm out on my prayer walk. And one of the first things that I do in every time of my prayer is I thank God for the woman that he gave me, and I thank him for really specific things. But when I started that, here's the powerful thing. So there was a lot of ground God had to make up within 6 months of that day in that park, God showing me that, and me obeying what God said, watching my heart. You could not have convinced me that I didn't have the best deal in the world, and I am still crazy in love with that woman. She's the best thing God ever brought into my life, save his only son. And that's genuinely how I feel. I mean, I'll be 60 in about 9 months, and I am crazy in love with that girl. And that's the truth. That's the truth. Because I take these things really seriously. God gave me my wake-up calls in my life, and you got to respond when God gives you wake-up calls in your life. Because I'll tell you this, I'm gonna tell you a little secret about God. This is important that you know this. He loves you, he cares about you, he's jealous for you, he's passionate over you, but he will not always strive with you. If over and over and over again, he comes to you, tries to work in your heart, and you resist him, one day he stops striving with you and simply lets you go your own way and you fall apart. Not because God makes you, because we like sheep have gone astray and we each go our own way. And the way that we go always ends in death. Physical death, relational death. And this is what we see all across the country today. We are a culture of divorce. That's what we are. It almost defines our culture today. We are the culture of the broken family. The most precious thing to your children, first and foremost, mom and dad, is you. You love each other. You love each other. You believe in one another. You believe the best about one another. You got to keep your heart loyal, faithful, thankful, appreciative, and forgive and in love with your spouse. You must absolutely be intensely vigilant to detect and destroy negative heart viruses in yourself that will eat away at your marriage relationship. They will destroy your marriage. And you and I must destroy attitudes that are destructive. Now listen to this, because almost all of us here are used to using a computer. Guess what? There is no automatic virus protection in your heart. Did you hear me? You hear me on this. Some of you know what tech stress is like. I do not like tech stress. I had it this morning. For an hour, I could not get on AOL. For 30 minutes, I was on tech support. Finally, they answered. They couldn't help me. Then 30 minutes in billing, they finally answered. They couldn't help me. Then eventually, it started to work. Every single day, thousands of times a day, hacking viruses, automated virus, they're trying to attack your computer, and you've got a firewall. There is no firewall in your heart, but you. You must guard it. You don't just put it on automatic like pay McAfee heart protection. you know, Norton heart protection for my marriage, and you just kind of merrily go your way, you do, you're going to die. It's you honoring God, listening to God, sensitive to God, watching over, ooh, Lord, that one's got to go. Yep, that criticism, that's bad. That's bad. There is no one in the world harder on me than me. We got to learn to call a spade that's going on in our heart. And we got to deal in a death blow. But then here's the big secret, okay? Here's the big secret. Telephone's ringing. Don't worry about it. We'll get it later. We must, each of us, develop and practice good habits that keep emotional love strong towards your spouse. I'm going to tell you right now, I'm not your typical old guy. I refuse to be the typical old guy. I will not be the typical old guy. Not physically, not emotionally, not mentally, and never spiritually. I am striving. I am striving. And when you strive, you thrive. When you lay around lackadaisical, lazy, you are not going to thrive. You are not, and your marriage won't thrive. And so in my heart, my goal is to feel. I don't live by my feelings. This is the difference. My goal is to feel in love with that woman. And I do. I work over my heart. I work over my emotions. I am not going to be that guy, you know, well, we're just kind of roommates. Yeah, we've been together a long time. Or it's kind of dead inside. And I've got other passions in my life. I'm not going to have them. Christ is my first passion. She's my second. Serving God is my third. By serving others, my fourth. And so here's the things. I'm just going to give simple things I've done over these years. The first is monitor the state of my heart and emotions every day. I monitor it. I can get angry. I have to step back and go, wow, I'm angry. Mark, you need to deal. Why are you angry right now? Why are you angry? Sometimes it may take you a little while to figure out. Sometimes I'm angry because I have expectations on other people that they had no idea I had them, and they're letting me down, but they could not possibly know they're letting me down, and I should never have the expectations to begin with. This is how I solved this with Kathy. This is beautiful. I just don't have any expectations. I wake up. I'm not lying. You could ask her. You could ask my son-in-law and my daughter who live in my basement right now, trying to save us some money to get a house. They see me every day. I eagerly get out of that bed. And I begin my day after I get ready, and I pray usually under Kathy's up in the room. I'm in the garage walking around my van praying, or I go outside. I'm praying for her. I'm praying for the family. I'm praying for this church. I'm praying over my soul. I'm praying over my heart. I'm always spending time during that time thanking God. And then from that moment on, my goal is serving whoever God has in my life. I'm a slave. This is what I am. I am a slave. I am a servant. And my mentality is, can I get her some coffee ready? Hey, is there something she needed at the grocery store? I get the groceries. I go. I do the laundry. I vacuum the house. I clean the toilets. That's the honest to God truth. It's my joy to serve her. You'll find that the people that you serve, you end up loving. I don't wait around like, what have you done for me lately? What are you going to do for me? I don't wait around. I don't evaluate our relationship on that basis. And what comes back to you is wonderful. It's just a gift, and I just receive it as a gift. But as a young man, I confess to you, I had a lot of expectations. I just kind of wait around. I didn't have that attitude of Christ. I'm just here to serve. This is what Jesus meant when he said, the Son of Man did not come to be served. I didn't come expecting from you people. I came to give to you people. This is what Jesus meant when he said, it's more blessed to give than to get. That's the truth. That's the truth. Monitor your heart. Number two, forgive the hurts and offenses of your spouse. There's going to be a lot of them. Oh my gosh, she didn't pay attention. She didn't thank me enough. Oh, she didn't even notice that I scrubbed the floors today. Or whatever it was, whatever your expectation is. Think about that, how often we hold and harbor unforgiveness in our heart, which then turns to resentment, which then grows to bitterness. And bitterness is toxic. Toxic, the Bible says that. It's toxic. And it will poison and metastasize your life and your relationship. And I've seen people go on in their life for years in marriage, secretly festering in internal bitterness in their heart. And it's wrong. It's wrong. Christ, Carl shared with us last week, Christ forgave us all of our sin. I have wronged God today thousands of times more than Kathy will wrong me in her whole life. Do you really believe that you're that wicked? If you don't, you got a lot of pride. You see, you don't understand the state of your real heart. We need to forgive. Number three, practice aggressive. That's a key word here. Passivity will destroy your life. Practice aggressive thankfulness daily for who they are and the wonderful things about them. Boy, I tell you, my thankfulness is vigorous. Vigorous. I raise my voice when I'm alone. I invigorate my soul, my spirit, and I count my blessings. I got to tell you, an attitude of gratitude, living in the constant state of appreciation for what you and I have, is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. And I don't have much as far as this world goes. I really don't. The car that I drive around right now is a 99 Honda Accord 5-speed with 238,000 miles on it, paid $500 for it. Every time I get in the car, this is the truth. Doesn't have a radio that works. You know, the AC works, that's nice. Actually, I kind of enjoy it because I get 43 miles a gallon in this Honda Accord. It's kind of stunning. No one believes me, but I got all the records. I got a little calculator even in my car. Just fun. Every time I get in it, I think about the Christians right now that are in Iraq that are receiving our packages. And sometimes, literally, it puts tears in my eyes. I'm like, I've been to Honduras. I've spoken in Honduras. I was there when Hurricane Mitch hit Honduras. And I see the people living in plastic tarps, and I see the stick houses that they live in. And I thank God every time I get to sit myself in that Honda Accord. My mom and dad raising us six kids, little darlings, they never had a car close to my 99 Honda Accord. Never had cruise, never had air conditioning. And I used to sleep on the side of the big bump, and my brothers and sisters slept in the windowsill, which is now illegal. We expect so much in America. We are so blessed. Every day, do you realize you're so blessed? You're so blessed. We get up, we have clean water, I have good food to eat, and I have a wife that loves me. I don't deserve her love. I don't deserve her love. God, you gave me a woman. I think how many people would love to have what I have. And I count my blessings, and I count my blessings. I keep a blessing list. I keep a running book. I have books at home with all these God stories. See? I just live in thankfulness. One day my wife, this is one of the best, maybe the greatest compliments she's ever paid me. She looked at me, we were praying together. I pray with her every day. She looked at me with tears in her eyes. She said, Mark, I have to tell you, I've watched you grow. You have become the most thankful man I've ever known. And in all humility, that's not how I'm wired. I'm a highly critical individual. I'm a pessimist by nature. But I just determined, Lord, I'm going to go after aggressive thankfulness, and it's transformed my life. Of course, it's what God asks us to do. And number four, kill the critical spirit and the negativity and the grumbling and complaining. Wow! I'm a choleric individual, so we have a natural perfectionist critical spirit. I've had to crush it. I've had to kill it in my life because criticalness will ruin your life. It'll ruin your marriage. It's always nitpicking. Always something that bugs you. This isn't right. That isn't right. Learn, this sounds crazy coming from me, learn to chill out. You know, learn to just enjoy what you've got and not bemoan what you don't. And number five, put your mind deliberately on the good, the excellent, the praiseworthy, and the true things about your spouse. Deliberately, intentionally. It'll change your life. And it will change the quality and the richness of your marriage. And I make you this promise. If you do what we're talking about tonight, your children, as they grow, here's what's going to happen. And I say this in all humility. I don't deserve this. You can go see on Strong Disciple, hear my messages. I get way more into my personal testimony and my crud and my failings and the things God had to do in my life. All four of my children grew up with this perspective. Dad, when I grow up, Mom, I want a marriage like yours. I want to fall in love like you. They didn't watch Tristan and Isolde or First Night with Richard Gere and think, oh, God, I want to fall in love like that. They may have saw the movies. They wanted what we had. They wanted what we had. Is that your goal? That needs to be a good goal in your mind. See, Lord, do this between me and my wife. I want my children to be incubated in this passionate, devoted, joyful love. We're going to have problems. Kathy and I argued. I can't tell you how many times I got down on my knees, looked one of my children in the eye with tears sometimes and said, Jeremy, sweetheart, would you forgive me? The way I just spoke, it was wrong. The way I just spoke to your mom, that was wrong. God's working on Daddy. I'll bet I did that 1,000 times. God can do wonders in your life. Guard your heart. Father, we just thank you tonight for your mercy in our lives, your power in our lives. You're able to change anybody, Lord. No one is a hopeless cause. The only hopeless cause in the world is the arrogant who refuses to humble him or herself before God and change. But Lord, your spirit can knock down mountains. Your spirit can soften the hardest heart. And I ask you, Lord, you heal marriages tonight. I mean that. Heal relationships tonight. I know what human beings are like because I am one. And I know the challenges that we face living under the same roof with the opposite sex, different backgrounds, different temperaments, different personalities. God, we need you. And we need the will to decide, I'm going to guard my heart and honor God in this relationship. In Jesus' name, amen. We have out in the hall, and I'd love to meet you guys afterwards. God bless you.